Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening in to our podcast here. This, of course, I am Jimmy Hart. We have Thomas Egan.
That's me.
And Cam Koenig here.
Sup.
We are going to have a little game jam here and talk about some things. I had some thoughts on a pretty broad topic that I wanted to see what you guys had opinions on. And it's really the state of effort versus rewards in video games. And I don't think it's really all that talked about, in my opinion. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of articles about it. I haven't seen very many people talk about it. And what it comes down to here is, I mean, I play a lot of retro games. I've played a lot of classic, regular Nintendo, NES, SNES, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis games.
And everyone knows they're too easy.
They are super easy. So easy, it actually makes me miss them.
Oh.
Because everything nowadays is just way too hard. Way too hard.
They're like 9 difficulty levels, and what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, no, it makes me harken back to the days in which I would play Battletoads and get to the water ski jet ski level and play it over and over and over and die because I've lost all of my lives and start over from the beginning and get back to it. You know, what drove me to continue to play that for my only reward for passing that level is just getting to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Like something like that in today's gaming culture is automatically just hard.
Well, two parts to this. Like right off the bat, you can divide everything into what does difficulty mean to different people and how has that changed over time. So for us, we're all 20-something, like 30-ish something.
Ish.
How old are you, Jimmy?
I'm 30.
Okay, okay. Oh, okay. I thought so.
Yeah, good guess.
We're all late 20s-ish. Thomas, how old are you? I'm 27. Cam, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay, well, sorry I put that on the podcast.
Don't dox me, please.
Yeah. So over time, gaming has changed a lot, and so we're all 25 to 30 between the three of us. And so we lived in an age, I like to think that we lived in the perfect time to see both sides of if people that are 5 to 10 years older than us really have a grasp on what childhood was like without the internet, period. And I certainly don't know anything otherwise. It's not like the internet was so prevalent in my upbringing. Certainly in elementary school, it didn't mean anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I hit sixth grade and I was on AIM and dial-up. And then after that, internet was just a thing that existed in the world, right? With that, so many things changed. And in culture, not just gaming, but in so many ways, things became more connected. But before I talk about what the internet changed, before that, with no internet, the only way that you consumed these games was in your house or in an arcade. So that meant two things. Either you were grinding this out at home, and maybe it was your only game. Let's just say that you're a young person. You're not like a young adult, but let's say you're a kid or a teenager at this point. You've got your one maybe system at home. Maybe your Atari. Maybe your Sega Genesis. You know, maybe it's your old ass PC. But you've got limited games for it. Maybe you don't even make your own money. You don't have a job or anything. So you're very limited. You're limited in what you can play. You're limited in what you can talk about. You don't even know what's out there unless you're really looking for it. So your scope is so much smaller than it is post-internet. So when your scope's not a lot bigger, you have drive to defeat, to overcome the challenges that are before you. Because that's all you got, and you're going to beat it, damn it.
I guess that's really interesting to kind of frame it that way. My first console was the original PlayStation. So I think in terms of, like, you consider a lot of retro stuff that's relatively late to the game, even though it really doesn't matter at one point. But I never really felt like that I kind of had to beat something. Like, it's very weird. I hear a lot of people talk about how if you like have like an old Castlevania game on like the Nintendo or whatever, then you like you just feel kind of compelled to like explore that world. And I kind of never really felt that in a really weird way. I guess I've also never really thought about it, so I'm just kind of handling these thoughts as they come through. But I don't know. I think it just kind of, I kind of was just drawn in by, I don't know. I think just that kind of like experience, it was like almost an escapism thing for me, mm-hmm. in a weird way, to where like I didn't necessarily feel compelled to like, oh, I just have to see how this ends. Because I was playing a lot of Crash Bandicoot. Of course you're going to beat Cortex at the end of Crash Bandicoot because it's very formulaic. Yeah, sorry. Spoilers.
Oh,
I know.
Man. See, that's what's difficult these days, is spoilers.
You're not kidding. Sorry, Jimmy.
It's okay.
Wait till you find out about that one time that
I'm actually three bosses in.
Oh.
And the remakes. I've never played it.
Really? Okay. Well,
so thanks.
You're welcome. No, but I always never really felt like compelled to like see that story through to the end, because the stuff that I was playing as a kid wasn't necessarily like super complex, with the exception of Armored Core for some reason I was playing as a child. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of nice to just have that just kind of be there, and it was just kind of really something to do, I guess. I'm not really sure I have like concrete thoughts on it.
No, I totally get it. So the reward you may have gotten from that wasn't necessarily a story or anything. It was, it could have been, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was very much that escapism. You had this interesting game with a Crash Bandicoot. It's mm-hmm. a crazy, you know, cartoon world, and
right.
you're going through this level, and there wasn't a game like it at the time. It was very different. So I think going back to your Castlevania analogy, I actually really like that. Mm-hmm. So I definitely was, to Thomas's point, the kid that I had an NES system, and I had 10 games. And I had those 10 games. That's all I had. And that's all I had for quite a while. Because it wasn't even mine. It was my mom's. My mom's the one that started playing before I did. So
isn't
we
it
had
funny
like...
to say that? Like, that's not something you hear anymore.
Yeah.
Well, not unless you're like a kid now. But like, as someone who's my age, I haven't heard someone my age say, it was my mom's console.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it
that,
was my
that
mom's
is, That is an
system.
Interesting one for me. Because I'm the only one in my family who really ever played video games. Or at least the first, for sure.
So, if, of course, everybody that would be listening to this is probably familiar with the original Castlevania and how the screen looks. At the very top, you have your like health bar, you have your item bar, and then you have a score. A score is very much a point in a game that could be a reward and could not be a reward. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, who would look at the score value in Super Mario Brothers?
Right.
Did you guys ever do that? When nope. you played that game.
Oh, absolutely not.
So there
I
are some people
even looked
that
at
do.
The coins, which is, well, really, I mean, it's another thing.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like the game I don't think the game tells you.
The game tells you jack shit.
Yeah. So
that is true.
Like
yeah.
you get around to getting 100 coins and I think you get an extra life, right?
Sure do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, you just have to figure that out. So like a lot of games like that, it's not just about the gameplay. It's like, hey, figure it out.
That's what I love about it, and very much why this topic means a lot to me. So the difference between playing Castlevania and seeing a score and Mario Brothers and playing a score is very small, but then getting a game like Legend of Zelda that does not have a score, but also this crazy world where you can go anywhere and you can explore, and I definitely felt that way with that game. Mm-hmm. This is a world I want to look around in. I want to see what's around this corner. What's to the right? I don't know. I can't get past this bridge yet. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. So when I'm playing games like, in of course, today's world, like Dark Souls, it has that very same retro mentality. Because the way I play games now compared to the way I played games as a child is very different. So I would love to just, I will repeatedly play a game and play a game and play a level and play a level and die and die and die until I get it. And that's very much why Dark Souls is appealing to me. Not because it's a hard game. It's just you have to have a certain mindset to play it. You are learning when you die. So that way, when you turn that corner, the skeleton doesn't kick you off the cliff a fucking again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he does it once. And that's all he fucking gets. He gets
right.
one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he will not get another.
That happens, and then the first time you're like, oh, look at this wide open bridge. I'm just going to, oh, God, there's fire everywhere. There's a dragon, apparently. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're just like, all right. And like, and there's a pretty good likelihood that you die after you just defeated another boss. and had a triumphant moment. It was like, all right, sit down. You know, yeah, you had your fun. Now chill out. Like, because right. you're, yeah. you know, buckle up. And I like that when that happens, you basically have a relatively free run back to where that kills you in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not totally true, but, you know, you cleared some stuff out, so the real barrier is out of your way. Now it's just like, hey, can you fight through the cannon fodder? You know, can you fight through the fodder to get back to where you got? Like, the boss that you fought is gone, but now that you think you're strong, can you fight the regular guys again? Like, you better not, you know, make sure you take them seriously, because that was the game that taught me. It was like, oh yeah, you beat these, you know, wimpy skeletons 50 times in a row. Well, as soon as you stop taking them seriously, you're dead. Oh, the smallest dude will just kill you. And it reminds you, it's you stay humble, you know, like, yeah, you're good, but keep your guard up,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, you know, just keep on watch. And that was definitely something I appreciated about Dark Souls. I told you that I think I got about 2/3, 3/4 of the way through Dark Souls 1, and I had a good time. And that's how we brought up this topic before, was risk versus reward. It was that there's such a satisfaction that comes from overcoming these bosses, figuring out the ins and outs of combat and the esoteric systems in that game, whether it's how poison works or how the loot works or how saving and weapons. And there's so many things that exist in this game and doesn't tell you how to do any of them. And you are learning, like, you have to learn yourself, but also it's risky to learn. Like, anything you do, there's a chance that it's just going to kill you, or that you're going to waste an item or something, you know. But that was in the early ages of the internet. I really do think a lot of this, in my head, this boils down to, as a collective of gamers, where does this sit on the timeline of connectivity, and how did people share information? So Dark Souls is one where, when you're connected to the internet, you can leave messages on the ground.
Yeah.
And you can use that to give people genuine tips, or you can use it to trick people or say, hey, watch out.
Like, sticky white stuff.
Yeah.
It's time for crab.
It's time for crab.
I will never forget in Dark Souls, when it was before that boss that I was just talking about, and I kept getting my ass kicked by not even a real boss. It was like a big little guy.
Yeah.
And you know, you fight the Tauros demon, that's who I'm talking about, right? Well, before him, you've got like the obsidian statue or whatever. Man.
Yeah, the Black Knight.
The Black Knight. Never had I just been knocked down to size.
I can set the stage a little bit, because in the game, of course, you have a certain set path, and you can open doors. And when you go up in the door, you have a staircase that goes to the top of a castle tower. And at the top of the tower is this fucking skeleton's been shooting arrows at you for the past 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So you kill him, you go back down, and then you go in a different room, and there's like hidden compartments and places you can go into. And so you walk down some stairs, fight a couple things, you turn the corner, and there's a little tunnel. And you see this just giant, he takes up the whole tunnel.
Yeah.
He's very tall, and he has a large sword. And he has these two giant points that almost look like, I mean, Batman points on his cowl, mm-hmm. but a lot taller. And he's just standing there. He doesn't move, nothing. If you get close enough to him, he then slowly starts walking towards you. And that's when he is just ready to fuck you. Just period.
Yeah.
He's full ready stop. To just... Yeah, you are done. He will find you. He will not stop following you.
You go up, and I might be misremembering this, but I think he can hit like through your shield. Like, he can hit you hard enough to like knock you down or something. It's something like that, where you're like, okay, I understand the basic mechanics of the game. And then it reminds you, you do not. And
just sits you down in this little chair, tells you no, and walks away.
Because he's so powerful. I mean... First of all, if he hits you, he just does a huge amount of damage. And after he finishes his slow, dramatic walk-up, if you run away from him, he's not that slow. You know, he'll pick up the pace on you. You know, and enemies in that game, they'll chase you. They'll chase you for a while. But the issue is, you hit him with your weapon that you've been killing people with, and it does like 3 damage instead of 100. And you're just like, oh. It's too late. Like, I made a mistake. You know, and so what you can do is you can just avoid him for now, because that's, this is another thing the game teaches you, because you see him and you figure,
you just walk right on past.
Yeah, I've got to go here. Well, no, you don't. You can come back later. And that's the game teaching you, hey, sometimes there's a left, middle, right. Like, there are all these options you can go. You know, pick what you think is right for you and figure it out. You know, there are parts in the game where you can find shortcuts, which is very satisfying to really cut that danger in half, because when you avoid a whole area, oh man, you just saved yourself a ton of trouble. And that discovery is like, the discovery, it's not a fight. Like, it's not, sometimes like the game will give you hints that there is like a hidden wall. If you touch this wall, mm-hmm. it'll disappear and there's a whole new area back here, which is wild because you could easily have just not seen it. But that satisfaction, that discovery is amplified so much because the rest of the game is such a challenge. So any little advantage you get in the game, whether it's something that you feel like the game gave you or something that you felt you earned, all of that, combat or not, it feels so rewarding because every other part of that game does not hold your hand. So like the smallest advantage feels huge in that game.
One more point I wanted to add to that, because it's still like the beginning area of the game, like the first main area you find. It's actually very shortly after you see the Black Knight, you go up some stairs, which a skeleton kicks this like flaming big Indiana Jones yeah. style ball at you. It rolls down the stairs and can take you out.
Dark Souls sounds fucking cool. I have not actually played this game, and this sounds fucking awesome.
So once you walk into the next door.
It really is a pretty cool game.
You walk into the next door, and you have two options. You can go into the weird, misty, giant archway to the left, which does lead to the first boss. And then, or you can go to the right and go down the stairs, kind of like, again, a circular, like, castle-style stairwell. And then you turn, like, as you're going down the stairs, you find nothing on the first floor. You go down another set of stairs, and you look down to the left, and you see a knight that's heavily armored, like, in almost what looks like a Goodyear tire icon symbol, like, the big floofy white guy in the Michelin tires, I think.
Michelin man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah. But he's silver, like, knight armor. And then if you step down far enough, you hear the clank of his armor shift, and he starts running. He starts running up the stairs. And of course, your first option is, oh, no, no, no. And you turn around, and you run right back up the stairs. And sure enough, he will also chase you down until you are no longer. But
you're right.
Also, it is a shortcut that you can absolutely do. And
ever even found that.
The best part about it is very much rewarding, because you can come back. You can absolutely come back and ruin his day for making you feel like that in the first 30 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And it's the most rewarding thing. And my dilemma about, and why I wanted to talk about this, is what is it about, and I'd like your guys' both opinion, of course, mm-hmm. in today's gaming, is it the same? Is it now we have... I mean, I understand and I respect that games have taken so many different forms, and it could be art, it could be a very simple yet rewarding, like, original NES game, or it could even be a bigger meaning, like a game like The Last of Us, where it's rewarding, it's not necessarily, like, fun, which is a whole nother topic, mm-hmm. but it's still engaging.
Yeah.
So,
like, the reward of that is just kind of seeing that whole story through to the end. As opposed to like, oh, I'm overcoming this challenge, which there is that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very scripted. It's totally just kind of feels like an interactive movie for a lot mm-hmm. of that, because mm-hmm. you're not like actively doing a lot of that stuff, mm-hmm. like in the cutscenes and stuff.
Right. So now is the reward, do you want to go after skill? Do you want to go after more skins? Do you want the gold star you get from leveling up your character but doing the same sort of gameplay over and over again, or mm-hmm. are you looking to have a story style encounter,
so
start to finish?
I think it's kind of ultimately depended on what type of game you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
In my head I immediately jumped to just on like almost a foundational, almost primal level, I just like to see the numbers go up. Like, that's just something that I like to see a whole lot. And you kind of see, like, I think there's just mass appeal for something like that. It's very satisfying to be like, okay, well, I had this gun that did 50 damage. Or I had this sword that did 30 damage. but then I picked up this new sword that I got from this dude, now just 35. Mm-hmm. And there's just like something like incrementally satisfying about that. And I think that's why you see a lot of like bigger like shooters nowadays, like recently, like The Division, or even like Fortnite has it. Destiny, I think, might have had it, but it's been a bit since I went back to that.
Like numbers falling out.
Yeah, of their, like you yeah, like Destiny shoot somebody and then that. It just like pops up like a 47 or a 150 or something like that. And oh, then yeah.
When there's the 157 was like gold.
Yeah, whenever you see like the critical hit or yeah. you hit their weak spot, just like this big flashing number flies up. It's just really satisfying to feel that kind of immediate reward and that immediate just kind of feedback from something like yeah. that you're kind of like actively putting into the game, I guess. That
yeah, sound design in games totally. Is hugely important, and in a game like Apex Legends, mm-hmm. where you get a headshot and you know that sound, like even if you're firing your shotgun and you just got a reasonable number of bullets to the dome, like you hit their whole body, like you just you know, yeah, it's such a spread shot. But you got a little bit of shot on their head, you know that you got max damage for that shot. And you know that without looking at the number that goes up because you heard that satisfying sound. Mm-hmm. And that right there is your reward for, or, well, not your reward, but that it tells you, like, you did it. Like, you need to be good at aiming to defeat your enemies. This sound means you did it because you got the max damage and all that stuff. So, like, of course, your enemy going down is how you win, you know, it's how you defeat them. You actually take them down, and then when they're knocked down, whatever. But like little things in combat that can give you positive feedback is so rewarding. But that really only applies, well, the way I'm thinking about it, only applies to multiplayer games. So it's a specific kind of difficulty that only matters depending on who your enemies are, and your enemies are people. Instead of in Dark Souls, it's obviously all AI until you go into their also esoteric PvP system,
mm-hmm.
which is really its own thing. But if I look at what people are looking for now today, you've got the old guard, which is us, which is funny because we're, you know, creaky bones over here. We're practically turning to dust.
What? I am wasting away at 25.
you know, we might be looking for totally different experiences than people who are 10, 15 years younger than us. You know, Minecraft and Fortnite have been the two biggest video games for the generation below us for ages. And there are plenty of other big ones, and not, you know, that's not to downplay the fact that a lot of those younger kids are playing a lot of games that we're playing also. But look at those two sides of the coins. You've got Minecraft, which is the least difficult game of all time, or like where it's totally casual all the time. Even your survival mode, you're just like, you know, don't go out at night, don't mm-hmm. die to the zombies. But maybe your challenge there is your own challenge. You want to build something, and your challenge is to basically be an architect, you know. But that is your own challenge. That is definitely not a Battletoads difficulty kind of, you know, mountain to overcome. The other side is Fortnite, where you want to be the very best that ever was, you know. You are always going against other players at all times, so your difficulty bar is different every single game. Mm-hmm. Every single encounter that you have is somebody new, and you don't know if they're going to be the Black Knight or if they're going to be one of the fodder skeletons, so to speak.
That's me. I'm the fodder skeletons. I am not good at Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had talked about this on our other podcast, right, where in Apex Legends, mm-hmm. I love the risk reward you kind of get, where some games you play to win. And like when I want to win, I want to win. I want to win. But some games I want to get spicy. I just want to drop in hot. I want to go to where I know everyone's going to drop, and I just want to fight. I have no plan of winning that game. Like probably, you know, 20 people are going to land in this spot, and boy, there's a really slim chance that I'm not going to get snuck up on in the middle of a fight or something, right?
20 spicy meatballs all in one pot.
Ooh.
Ready for that marinara.
cloudy with a chance of spicy meatballs. You know, that stuff's really fun, and I'm getting exactly what I want by doing that. But I'm not going to win the game. But what I can do is, if I, like, that's me going in. I want to have a 5-minute game where I just go crazy for 5 minutes. That's all I want. I don't want a 20-minute match that I win. I want a 5-minute match that I fight. And so there, I have a different objective. It's I want to fight all the time. Throw me in the crucible. Throw me in the fire. And so my difficulty is turned up to 11, which is why I never walk away from those fights. Because, you know, everybody's fighting all the time. And then you're like, oh, we finally beat them. And then another squad shows up, right? So that's me in a multiplayer game turning the difficulty up to hardcore, right? So I would have to be the best to win that. And I like that. You know, that's how I want to get better at that game. You know, turn up the difficulty to 11. And once I get used to that, you know, it's like in Dragon Ball Z, I'll take off my armor, you know. I'll warm up using all that stuff. And then when I'm really ready to win, I'll take all that, you know, learning that I did back there. And I'll take it with me all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. But that's a really unique way to judge difficulty in a game that's only multiplayer, that does not have... Apex certainly, right now, doesn't have a ranked tier. Mm-hmm. Everybody's thrown into the same pot. There's no ranked mode, casual mode, practice, none of that. So everybody's in all the time. And that really muddies the water on what, especially a younger generation, would even think about difficulty being. Because I know people who only play Call of Duty. That's all they play. And so this is a similar thing. Maybe they play Zombies, which has difficulties, I believe. Maybe.
I don't think it's
procedurally. Right. So like longer you last, the harder it gets.
Yeah. You're right. So that is tried and true difficulty.
And so I think that made me think of a couple of different points. And during that, you alluded to, really, I'm going to totally like sum it up right now in a nutshell. But there are three-ish or a few things that all kind of go into this topic. And one would be your expectations of the game. So your type of game that you like to play, you actually set your own reason for the reward.
Mm-hmm.
Your reward isn't unlocking the skin. Your reward is, what am I going to get in this next fight? You know, what's going on in this next fight? Or the other part could be the developer's expectations, if they have any, for what they would want you to experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be very different than what, you know, you are expecting versus... the person that wants to get that next gun skin or actual character skin or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then even maybe the last point would be actual gaming experience or age, just because of how games have evolved in age and how, again, widespread they are and how different they are. And some are art forms, some are not.
Mm-hmm.
And how that could relate to what I'm trying to expect. Potentially. So it's very, I mean, maybe it's just very different. There's not a way to pinpoint down the exact effort versus reward. It depends on the game, depends on the person, depends on...
And so it's a whole bunch of different things. It's all the stuff we talked about before, the stuff that you just brought up. One example is my girlfriend and I just started playing Diablo 3, which is great. We've been looking for a game to play together for a long time. And anything that one of us wants to play, the other doesn't, you know. She's like, let's play No Man's Sky. And I'm like, oh, man, I've been...
No Man's Sky.
No. Like, I've been cheated by that game too many times. I can't go back. You know, but it's still fresh for her, so she wants to. Well, the same can be said for several other games where one of us wanted it, the other did not. So it was like, well, we could compromise, or let's just keep looking. So we keep looking. Well, we finally did Diablo 3. We tried it out, and it's great because that game is easy, but it feels good when you get new rewards, when you unlock new areas. You know, we actually bumped it up on hard, and Lizzie does not like difficulty in games. She does not play games for difficulty, for a challenge, period. She plays them for story, like, first and foremost. And then, like, graphics are pretty cool. She likes good characters and stuff. But she shows up for a good story, full stop. A challenge is like tertiary to her. So to be able to play this game together and to do well enough, you know, of course you bump up the difficulty, you get better rewards. Money is not an object to us in the game right now. Like, between the two of us, we have so much money that it feels good, even though, I mean, the game's really not hard. It still feels good that we were able to turn up the difficulty and she was still able to have fun with it. Because, like, while this isn't a good example of... like, we have it turned up as high as it can go. And I definitely want it to be, like, twice as hard. Like, I want to be struggling, and we're nowhere near struggling at all. Especially with two of us. I don't know how it would be if I was by myself, but, I mean, the game's easy. And I you know, Diablo came out in, like, 2015, I want to say. It came out a while ago.
Was that 2015?
I think so.
That sounds right.
Sounds right.
God, yeah.
That's been a while.
And so I basically did not play it ever until this, you know, the end of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all still new to me. So whatever. Nice thing about games these days is that they don't age that much, depending on, well, depending on circumstances.
Yeah, but I guess it depends.
Game like Diablo, if you told me that came out last year, I'd believe you. You know. Mm-hmm. So we're having fun with that, but I really
wish
fair,
they have released like the game six times.
That's true.
Yes.
So yeah. they did release it last
edition.
Year.
It
yeah.
did come out last year on yeah. the Switch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, all this is to say, I wish I could turn the difficulty up more, but it's nice for her to dip her toe in like bumping up the challenge because she was pretty hesitant. And then we kept playing. She was like, I think we can do it. And that was cool because I love being challenged. Like being challenged, even though I fell off of Dark Souls, like being challenged is what I go to games for. Like, I love the phrase, if you're learning, you're not losing, you know? So win or lose, if I drop an Apex and I die in 1 minute, 10 times in a row, if I feel like I'm getting better, I'm going to do it 10 more times. Like that's for me, that is the grind. Like I am in it for the grind, not necessarily just for wins.
That's the Battletoads level.
So I am kind of the exact opposite of that.
Nice.
I have a lot of trouble keeping up with just like constantly just throwing myself at a wall. And like if I'm up against like this big boss or like this stage that I can't beat and I just like keep throwing myself at it, I just
break your game.
Yeah, I just take the disc out for a digital game,
yeah.
Snap it in half.
Oh, heck.
No, I think the rewards that I'm typically more drawn to are stuff that's usually kind of like unlockable extras or like a cosmetic or like just some sort of like visual thing that says, hey, you're doing a really cool, like good job at this thing.
You know, you can pay money for those and they're called loot boxes.
Yeah, you can. And that's kind of a thing that muddies the water a little bit. Because as you were talking about Apex, I was thinking about Titanfall 2, because of course I was. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, man, like, Respawn makes some good-ass animations. Mm-hmm. Like, they always have. And I was thinking about, oh, like, some of the Titan executions that you can get, like, for, like, their prime Titans that you can get for Titanfall 2. I'm like, oh, those are really cool. But you have to pay money to unlock them. There's no way to actually get those,
dude,
which is a damn shame.
The Last of Us in the multiplayer, there, like the crossbow, you have to pay real money to get that. There is no other way to unlock
that.
And I straight up, I quit when I found that out. Like I played for like one more week.
I think Uncharted did that also.
That's
dude,
cool.
Honestly,
yeah.
I could not believe that. Like I looked it up.
Right.
I was like, I must be missing something because surely they did not put a gun in here that I cannot unlock without real money. And that was it. That's how it was.
So like those Titan executions that I'm talking about, they look fucking awesome. They are purely cosmetic. Mm-hmm. They just are an extra cool thing for you to just stunt on some fools. Like, hey, I killed you and like got up close to you. Ooh, ooh, watch out. And
well, the finishers in Apex.
It's
like,
the exact
I gotcha,
same thing.
And this is super risky, but
it's the exact same thing. But like the Titans are invincible in Titanfall 2 whenever you're performing an execution, because it's just like, hey, you earned this.
Nice.
You know? But like there was some other stuff that you could get to, like, but most of the really cool cosmetics they had behind that paywall, which is a little disappointing, but that content was free, but that's another point. But I also like there were some like unlockable like pilot executions you could get for like, hey, if you do this many executions with this one equipped, then I think you can unlock this other one. And they were all really cool and really well thought out and really creative. And I really kind of enjoyed just kind of like going after them. It was like, I liked having this like almost progress marker of, okay, well, you've done this many times. So I like that there was this visual representation that I could like go back and check or see like, okay, well, you're almost here. You've got three more of these to do, so I can like kind of plan my approach for like the next game. Because I didn't care as much about winning. I cared more about, I guess, kind of
looking
the experience
cool
and honestly looking cool,
sweet ass mix.
I I jokingly say this phrase a whole lot, but it's not about making the right play. It's about sending a fucking message. And that's what you do.
You just send a message.
That's right. Just open up your pause menu. Pause menu. Your system menu. Excuse me.
Maybe that's the name of the podcast. That's what we're doing.
So,
go ahead.
On top of that then, so that goes into another thought, achievements. There are some games that play achievements, like you get through the epilogue of the story and you get an achievement that says, now you begin or something. Mm-hmm. Is that to just the cherry on top of the pie that is keeping you engaged in the game? Or is
okay,
it...
Okay, I'm going to hard stop you because I hate it when I finish a level. It's like, hey, you got an achievement. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to press the PlayStation button to see what this is. And it takes me out of the cutscene. Loads. Okay, loads. And it says, you finished the first level. And I'm just like, I know, I was in the cutscene. Okay, and then I go back. And so that's one thing where, like, I see what the point is.
Mm-hmm.
Poor execution. I'm like, yo, I see that you're trying to pat me on the back. I did the thing. Even, you know, especially feels good when you completed a clearly very difficult mission. But you get to the end, it's like, you did it. But you have to pause the cutscene to do it. Because that's when the badge pops up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, maybe just wait a minute. Like, wait till the cutscene's over to give me the thing.
So I fucking love trophies a whole lot. I've spent way more time than I care to really admit chasing after just certain ones in particular. Notably, Titanfall 2. I've, like, gotten all the trophies for that game, including, like, running that gauntlet at, like, 32 seconds, which took a long time for me to, like, figure out and run towards. And, like, kind of going back to your point on, well, both of your guests' points really about how I just kind of wanted to, like, overcome this game or, like, get better at it. I really only got better at it because there was a JPEG that had a lock symbol on it that I needed to get off. Or, like, sometimes they're just, like, it's, like, a nice goal for me to, like, frame, like, kind of why I'm playing a game, because sometimes I feel like it's a little tough for me to stay motivated to, like, play a game all the way through. Like, I have the platinum trophy for Persona 5 for some reason. I was unemployed, and so I just decided to play through that game again, but do, like, a perfect playthrough. And
what doesn't sound like it was for some reason?
Well,
it sounds like you heavily enjoyed the game.
I did. I
and
absolutely
wanted it.
Oh, I needed that JPEG.
Yeah.
I needed that JPEG real bad.
Then, what's the problem with that?
Oh.
If you wanted it, you got it.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah.
So really,
well, so for me, my only issue is straight up just the way they offered it at a system level.
Right.
That's my only issue.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it feels good to unlock stuff. You know what? It's funny because the background to that is a funny story that you can find somewhere else. I'm sure someone else can tell you the whole story. But, you know, I didn't understand how achievements worked, like why they existed, like not how or why people wanted to add them, but how they had to exist for a PlayStation game until I played Undertale. And Undertale has
no
a specific...
spoilers, please. I haven't finished that yet.
You're fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, are you playing it on PlayStation?
I'm playing it on Switch.
Okay. You might still have the same area, but there is a part of this game where you do something that is comically tedious. Like, to say that it's tedious really undersells it. And this thing that you do that takes forever only exists so that you can get 13 achievements from it that all say basically the same thing.
So what you're saying is I need to buy this game on PS4 now.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, really.
And so he said it, I might pull it up, I don't know, but it's like the first trophy you get is like, you... I'm just gonna look it up because it's funny and I'm not gonna butcher his own joke. Only reason this whole area of the game, this tiny area, exists was because when you put a game on PlayStation, it has to have achievements. And when Toby Fox put the game in, he wasn't interested in having unlocks for the game he already made. He didn't want to make up achievements for the stuff that already was. But he also didn't want to say, you know, the game's not broken up into, like, levels or anything. He just didn't want to give anything away, because a lot of that game is just discovery. Like, it makes you laugh out loud as you're just figuring stuff out. So that was just a funny way. I don't know how Xbox does it. I assume they do the same thing.
Probably the same.
Probably the exact same way.
Yeah.
But it's funny that if you make a game, you're required to give a little pat on the back for completing a level. Where, you know, ain't no Battletoads in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a funny thing to think of. Like, that is like almost a cliche of like a participation mm-hmm. trophy.
Yeah. Zero effort.
And kind of along the same vein, I think trophies and achievements, going on a slight bit of a tangent, I think they could, like, there is absolutely a way for them to kind of add to the overall gaming experience, or at least like kind of be used if you kind of understand and like know if you do this thing, then something's going to pop up on your screen. I think the example that I always go back to on something like this is Portal 2. There is a bit where like they used an achievement for like comical effect, and it totally fucking lands, where, sort of spoilers for Portal 2 that came out in like 2012.
Wow. Okay, I'm turning off this podcast.
Basically, like, you get to a point and the bad guy is just like, this is the part where I kill you. And then the chapter is like entitled "The Part Where He Kills You." And then like your quote, sort of, I'm trying to avoid spoilers. The character that is with you says, this is the part where he kills you. And then the achievement pops and it just says "The Part Where He Kills You." And it's absolutely hysterical.
Because, yeah, one by one, it popped up.
Perfect timing. But I mean, also, Valve is intimately familiar with that platform. Mm-hmm. Like, that they're pushing it through their own platform. They can kind of plan for stuff like that. But I haven't, unfortunately, seen a whole lot of uses that of, like, to really emphasize a point, which I think is really neat.
Well, I have an answer for that.
Okay.
But I'll tell
you
in a second.
What you're about to tell me.
Okay, I just have to tell this. I mean, I'm ruining a joke in PlayStation Undertale, but that whole game is so funny that whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, I'm just going to tell you what you do. So you go into this room and there's like a doggo in there, right? Like a Shiba Inu.
Little good old boy.
And good old boy. And he's like, hey, I opened up a shop. Would you like to donate to me? And it's like, okay. And you click and it's like, would you like to donate 1 gold? Yes, donated. And then, like, I think the first time he's like, oh, thanks. Like, come back. I'm going to upgrade my shop. Leave and come back. And you do. And he upgrade, like, one tiny, really, really dumb, insignificant thing changes.
Nice.
And he's like, heck yeah, way better in here. And so you do that. So, like, the first time it's like 1. The next time it's 5. The next time it's like 50. The next time it's 100. And every time it, like, it starts over, and you have to click. You can only donate 1 gold at a time.
Oh my God.
And you have to like click, 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 donated 1 gold. Click, 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 donated 1 gold. And so
that's so good.
You end up donating like 1,000 gold or something crazy. And so the whole time, like, I told this, like, I was doing something else, and I just took the controller with me out of the room and
hell
just
yeah.
donate.
Hell yeah.
So that was a funny thing. So when you do that, the trophy. So, like I said, mm-hmm. Toby Fox had to make trophies for this to come out on PlayStation. So the first trophy you get for that is, don't worry, I have lots of ideas for trophies. The second one is, like, getting items. The third is, or getting more items. The fourth one, help me, I'm out of ideas. And so, like, if for those of you who have not played Undertale, that's what Undertale is. Undertale is just a series of goofy ass jokes. I've already beaten it once, but I need to beat it a second time because reasons,
okay,
which
great.
I can't tell you.
Yeah,
I
appreciate that. I picked it up, but I...
Oh, but actually, you know what? Undertale is a great game.
Exactly. What I was going to bring up. This is exactly a great reason to bring this game up, because this is one of the other reasons why I like gaming. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a reward in a different way. It's not the challenge like Battletoads or Apex. It's not the I'm going to beat the gauntlet in 32 seconds challenge. It's I am now going to get an emotional experience mm-hmm. from this game. And that in itself is a reward, but has minimal, if any, effort. Like, there are some areas in Undertale that do get difficult. But it doesn't, it's not something you have to do over and over and
right.
over and over again.
Again, really trying to avoid spoilers here.
Thank you.
But there are multiple ways that encounters can go, and the game does not tell you
mm-hmm.
that exists. Like, eventually it tells you, but it does not tell you basically until you've beaten the game. And then it's just like, hey, what's up? And then you learn that, and you're like, oh, I'm doing it again. I'm going back. And it really does offer a totally different experience, because the combat in that game is so unique to that.
It is easily one of the most interesting combat anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, because it's just really hard to even describe what the combat is in that game. At this point, I'm going to stop talking around it. If you haven't played Undertale, go play it.
No.
The game offers you ways to go about your fights, where you can either go the obvious way or you can go the not obvious way. And a lot of the times, the not obvious way is actually much more difficult because of what you're trying to do. And the game knows that, and it tells you that, and it makes jokes about it. But it's two parts. It's that it's difficult, and it doesn't tell you to go do this. Like, it is up to you to choose that challenge. I know, and I'm not trying to get away from Undertale here, but we had talked about Star Fox. You and I had talked about Star Fox 64, where it has branching difficulty paths, where it's not like you just choose, I want to go on the difficult path. You have to earn it. Everybody starts in Corneria, the first level. And if you do this certain thing, you unlock this boss. And you beat him, and you go down the harder path. And in that level, if you complete, like if you figure out the hidden little thing that like is there, and if you're paying attention, you can figure out like, oh, that's shiny, I should shoot it. You know, if you figure that stuff out, you can stay on the hard track. If you don't, you'll get knocked to the medium track. And if you do it again, you get knocked to the easy track. And based on which track you're at, you get these different levels. The final boss is significantly more difficult.
New cutscenes.
Mm-hmm. And the game does not really tell you. It shows you in the map. Of course, I was a kid and I didn't understand it at the time. But it shows you in the map that there are all these different levels, but it does not tell you how to get there. And so you kind of got to figure that out on your own. And again, pre-internet, you're not just going on the internet to find this stuff out. You kind of got to call your buddies up.
Yeah, I got a friend whose uncle works at Nintendo. He can help you out.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
That's awesome.
You and a million other people. Yeah, the uncle at Nintendo. Oldest trick in the book. You know, I've always found that fascinating, and I've talked it to death, but I just love what Star Fox 64 does, where it's not about choosing your difficulty. It's about earning it in real time. So, like, if you miss, you know, you're halfway through the game, because the game's not very long. You're halfway through the game, so you're, like, three levels deep, and you're on a mission that has a particularly difficult challenge in it. You know, there's the one where you're the landmaster. You're in your tank, and you're on, like, a train level. And there are these they look like mailbox flags that you shoot. If you shoot all of them, you move on to the hard mode. If you don't, you don't. But that one's hard. I remember, like, I missed those a lot, and I was like, I have to start all the way from the beginning of the game to have another shot at this. You can't restart the level. You can't restart your checkpoint. A lot of times, I think in that game, if you tried to kill yourself, it wouldn't go far enough back to hit the challenge again. And I'm pretty sure they designed that on purpose. So it really was like, this is your shot. You better take it, kind of thing.
So how many bastards without empathy never made it to the medium level because they did not want to help Slippy in the very first level?
Poor Slippy.
Because it's definitely Slippy. Please help! I got this. Get this guy off me.
No, sorry, boy. No, I think in the first
and
level,
nobody wants to do that.
In the first level, it was you do the loop de loop through the archway because you could let Slippy go. Sorry, buddy. You know, I was busy.
But you gotta stay in formation.
That's
right. You have to have everybody there to stay in formation.
That's true. Is that really how you do that? Is that how you do a barrel roll, you can keep it moving.
No, I always just took it upon myself to save everybody, even Falco when he was being a jerk.
Man, Falco. And then he'd show up and smash and people like, Falco's cool. It's like, I remember what he said to me.
I'll never forget.
Yeah. You know, that was a funny game because like the real difficulty was the burden of your teammates, you know, which really, that's what multiplayer gaming
is
today.
It's like life. Everyone's going to let you down.
You know, what's funny is I was talking to my coworker at work.
Is that where you do that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go into details, but he's like the guy I talk to the most about anything work related. So somebody's joked that we're like the rumor mill because we see more people in the company than anybody else. You know, over 100 people in our company, and he and I are we see it all. And so I'm
call him Craig, yeah, coworker Craig.
So coworker Craig and I, we're talking, you know, before our days are really picking up, and I'm telling him, I'm like, man, last night I was playing Apex with my boys, you know.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know what Apex is, but
you know what Apex is, but you know.
He's like, shut up, nerd.
Whoa.
No, he definitely did not say
so
that.
So he's like, yeah.
But he says, I'm like, man, I'm playing with my two guys, and I got, you know, two kinds of people here. I got two teammates, right? Team of three. We got one guy that he takes feedback really well. He is in it to win it. Like, he's ready to get better. Like, no matter what we're doing, you know, it's all about that grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he takes, like, the most important thing is he takes feedback well. Yeah. Other friend, he has said in his own words that he is not interested in that. Like, while he is interested in winning, he is not interested in, like, that hard grind, the, like, throw yourself into the fire, lose 10 times in a row like I like, and then come out a better player. He, you know, he wants to win, but he's not interested in, like, the grind, mm-hmm. right? Well, yeah. He also doesn't take criticism as well, which, like, he has said. And, boy, that ain't that the truth. Like, just as a dichotomy of gamers, in a three-player game, I've got the one guy I can be like, all right, I can tell you what's up. I can tell you how I, you know, I can say what I want to say. And I got the other guy, I'm like, I'm going to mute my mic real quick. And it's funny because those two players are basically looking, they're playing at their own difficulty. Right, you've got one that's in it to win it, but he wants to just win. He's not, you know, I want to be the best person on my team. I want to be the best person in this fight. I want to be the best person in this round. You know, I want to win because of all that. But most importantly to me, I just want to be the best. And to be the best, I want to fight the most and have the most practice. Right. Well, other guy, he just wants to win because you can win without being the best fighter. You can outsmart everybody. You can outweight them. You know, just be patient. And sometimes you get to the end and win one fight instead of 10, and you win. And that's a totally valid way to play. But I just imagine that's like setting the difficulty down. It's smarter. I'm not, you know, saying it's bad because honestly, that's definitely the best way to win your game. But that's setting your difficulty modifier down, where I'm like, all right, I want to drop hot. I want to have the best loot because I want to have killed 10 teams to get it, you know, which is not how you win games at all. Mm-mm. Like, the more you fight, the more likely you are to just lose, right? But, yeah, I've spent a lot of time talking about that. So I was describing that to my coworker. I was like, you know, so I've got teammate over here who's, like, all about that grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got teammate over there who's like, you know, let's put this bad boy in park. You know, he's like, let's put this bad boy in second gear. And, you know, I'm like, I'd rather have the guy who's not winning games but grinding with me all day. Nine times out of 10, you know.
I know.
You know, and it's just nice to have somebody on your team who can take that positive feedback. And he was like, man, it's like life.
What?
I'm like,
shit. Oh my,
I'm like,
god,
oh shit.
Coworker Craig.
I'm like, damn, that, you sound like Vin Diesel right there or something, you know, talking about family. But yeah, anyway, that's just a goofy story.
Well,
but
I think that we've had a lot of different perspectives and views, and I think it's all really important really to take away is, like, you put what you want into the game and you get what you want out of the game. And I think everybody can have different opinions.
It's like games
options.
Are subjective or something.
Yeah. Who decided that?
I know, right?
Because fuck them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
says,
sick of that.
Signed, sincerely, Coworker Craig.
Yeah.
Coworker Craig. Well, cool. I honestly would be interested in revisiting this topic probably several more times because there's just a lot to parse. A lot of games out there.
Mm-hmm.
And as we move forward, I mean, we're going to be digging in gaming history all over the place more and more. Man.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I like it too.
A lot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it says Coworker.
Yeah, let's bring
Craig.
It back.
Craig's on board too.
Coworker Craig, thanks for coming on the show. We'll catch you on the next episode of
our podcast. Anytime.